Here in Romans 8, it says in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to purpose, His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Now I want to talk about predestination this morning. My message on predestination. I read to you over there in Ephesians where it said predestinated twice. Here we have predestinate twice. And as we look at this blessed truth of predestination according to the Scriptures, predestination is one of the most abused, misused, misunderstood doctrine of the Holy Scriptures. It is. It's just people misuse it, misrepresent it, misunderstand it. And it's not only misrepresented by those who hate it, but oftentimes it's also misrepresented by those who claim to be its friends. You see, words mean different things to different people. Every denomination, man-made denomination, and every error has always been around one particular thing, one particular verse of Scripture, a few verses of Scripture. But let me show you what I mean by what different words mean different things to different people. Some people say that predestination means what will be. Well, in a sense, that's true. But the difference is what God has willed to be, will be.
Yes.
We're not just left out here to the winds of time and the winds of chance and without some power, some wisdom, some glory behind Him. You see, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He says, "He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doeth thou?" So we would have to say that what God wills will be. We surely ain't going to say what will be won't be when it comes to God's will. But that's not what the doctrine of predestination has to do with at all. But let's say something else about how people's words, different words mean different things to different people. Some say predestination means that before men were born, God predestinated some to heaven and some to hell. Now that's not true either. That's not what predestination has to do with in the Scripture. The Word of God nowhere says this. If a man goes to heaven, if he gets to see the inside of God's heaven, if he gets to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ throughout eternity, it'll be because of God's grace and mercy. But if a man goes to hell, it'll be because of his own sin, his own unbelief, and his own rebellion. He just refuses to come to God God's way. And others say that if a person is predestinated to be saved, he will be saved. But here's the kicker. If a person is predestinated to be saved, he will be saved whether he hears the gospel, whether he seeks the Lord, or whether he believes on Christ. And if he's not predestinated, he can't be saved even if he wants to. This is not true. How many times have I heard that excuse? If a man couldn't even, but you all believe he couldn't even be saved if he wanted to. Well, I'll tell you what about, tell you about that. Now I want you to turn, I'm going to quote you a verse of Scripture, but look over here in 1 Thessalonians with me. "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God." A man's not going to be saved without faith, and faith is going to be the gift of God. And that's why Paul says, you know, he says, "Brethren, we're bound always to thank God for you, because He hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation." But what? "Through sanctification of the Spirit, setting you apart by the Spirit, and through belief of the truth." whereunto he called you by our gospel. Now a man's going to hear the gospel. God's going to cross his path with the gospel. He's going to cross his path with the truth. And here in 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says this, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel, this is how we know a person's election. This is how we know whether we're one of God's elect. Peter said, make your calling and election sure. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. What much assurance is he talking about here? Much assurance that what you're hearing is coming from God Himself. Coming from God, coming about God, coming about Christ, coming about your sin, and it comes in the Holy Ghost, and with it it makes assurance that what you're hearing is the truth, and you know what manner of men we were among you, for Christ's sake. And you know, beloved, so a man, this idea that a man predestinated to be saved without hearing the gospel, without believing on Christ, without seeking the Lord, that's not true. You see, God uses means to call men to Himself. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, not just to save anybody, them that believe. Ain't that right? And I tell you this, He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Our Lord Jesus says this in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now if a man wants to, truly wants to know Christ and seek Christ, he can. I brought a message last Sunday morning and on what a man confesses Christ. Scripture said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not what? Believed. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Now I read a thing this week, and I'm going to put it in the bulletin next week, where Billy Graham and Robert Schuller says that he's met a lot of people all over this world that's never heard the name of Jesus, never seen a Bible, but because they're sincere in their heart and they're seeking a God, that they're going to be saved. That's not true. If that's so, let's never take the gospel to them. Let's never tell them about Christ. If you can be saved without Christ, let's stop preaching right now. If you can be saved without the gospel, let's never preach it again. All we're doing is making men more judgment prone, more prone to face God and bring their condemnation upon them that much greater. Is that not right? And oh, beloved, I tell you, if a man wants to know Christ, he can. And if a man don't want to, it's because he don't want to. He just don't want to. And the word, no one, I tell you, beloved, no one's ever perished at the door of mercy. Never once ever perished at the door of mercy. But the word predestinate, it's used 4 times here in the Scriptures. Twice here in Romans 8. And I showed you twice over there in Ephesians 1. Where it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. To an inheritance being predestinated. So the doctrine of predestination is plainly taught in God's Word. I mean, it's just as obvious as the nose on your face. And I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us today and enable us to learn something today about this blessed truth of predestination. And may the Holy Spirit teach us. And there's four things that stand out in these verses that I read this morning that I believe will help us to understand the doctrine of predestination. First of all, look here in Romans 8:29. And watch what it says here. The first word we want to look at is this. For whom He did foreknow. He did predestinate. He might be the firstborn among brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate in verse 30. He also called. He called. He justified. He glorified. So here's what we're saying is, the first word we find about predestination is that He. We're dealing with He. Now, what does that mean? That means the salvation's of the Lord. He did predestinate. He called. He glorified. He foreknew. He predestinated. So you see, it has to do with the salvation's of the Lord. Jonah learned that, and he learned it, beloved, in the belly of hell itself. And that's where a man, he'll learn that when God starts bringing a man down, and he's going to bring a man down before he ever brings him up. He's going to kill him before he ever makes him alive. He's going to empty him before he ever fills him. He's going to strip him before he clothes him. And God will turn you upside down, turn you every way but loose, until you know the salvation's of the Lord. Huh? And it's the gift of God. It's God who called us with the holy calling. It's God who gave us grace in Christ before the world began. It's God who predestinated us according to His purpose. As the old hymn writer said, "'Tis not that I did choose thee. For Lord, that could not be. If thou, Lord, hast not chosen me, I'd never, never have chosen thee." Let me ask you three questions. I've asked these many times over the years, but let me ask them. Three questions. And answer these three questions scripturally. Did you choose God or did God choose you? Huh? Look over here in Romans 3:11. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:16, while you turn to Romans, "Know you not, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Our Lord Jesus says, you will not come to me that you might have life. And Romans 3:11 says this, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Now you reckon God told a lie on the human race when He said that? You know, God looks down on the human race and said, "There's not a one on this face of this earth that understands. Understands me, understands the Word, understands sin, understands salvation, understands what righteousness is, understands what justification is. There's not a person on the face of the earth that understands it. And not only that, but they don't seek me because that's where it's all at." Huh? And our Lord Jesus says this over in John 3:19. He says, "This is condemnation, that light come into the world." And what have men did when that light come into the world? They loved their darkness. They loved it. Now how in the world does a person get out of that darkness that they loved? You know we love darkness too. How did we get out of that darkness that we loved? God, who translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Huh? He had to do it. And oh, man left to himself would never, never, never bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, second question. When did God choose you? When did He choose you? Was it when you heard the gospel? Was it when you believed? Was it when you professed? "According as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world." God who called us and saved us with a holy calling and gave us grace in Christ before the world ever began on purpose. Known unto God are all His works from the creation. Oh, beloved, we believe because He chose us. Huh? We heard the gospel because He chose us. We profess that He's our Lord because He first chose us. We'd have never chosen Him. And when did He choose you? In Christ, before the foundation of the world. Ain't that what it says? Before God ever hung the stars in the sky. Before it says over in Job, before the sons of God shouted for joy. Before the cherubims ever fluttered a wing in the presence of God Himself and cried holy.
Amen.
Before He hung the world on nothing. He chose us. Oh, let me give you another reason. Now turn over in Ephesians 1. Let me ask you another question. Not only did you choose God or did God choose you, when did He choose you? Was it after you believed? Was it after you professed? And the third question is, why did He choose you? Why did He choose you? Why did He choose you? How can it be, that Thou, my God, didst love me? How could it possibly be that He loved me? Die for me. Why did He choose you? Was it because He saw some good in you? Was it because He needed you? Was it because you was not as bad a sinner as somebody else was? Well, look here in Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, watch it now, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Why did He do it? Pleased Him to do it. Huh? It pleased Him to do it. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He stood, He said, Father, I thank You. I thank You that Thou hast hid these things. What things? The truths concerning me. The truth concerning Your glory. The truths concerning my coming into this world. I'm thankful that You hid these things from the wise and prudent. Everybody, those fellows that know everything. Can't be taught nothing. Them people that's already got it all figured out. Those people that's got an experience that stays old. Them people that have been on every altar, has been baptized 14 times. Those people that are wise and prudent. You hid it from them. You just blind. You just hid it. But You revealed them to babies. And babies don't know nothing. Little old Riley, she comes around. We're always trying to teach her a new word. Teach her how to mind. We have to teach her everything. That's what God done with us. We're babies. He has to teach us. And oh, beloved, salvation begins with God's will, not our will. It begins with His purpose, not our purpose. And it says, He, who He foreknew, who He called, whom He justified. He. So salvation to the Lord. That's the first thing we see about predestination. And there's conditions. I don't deny it at all. There are conditions to salvation. But here's the difference. Christ met all those conditions and gave them to His elect.
Absolutely.
You know what the first condition is? Obedience. Perfect obedience from the day you're born to the day you die. Doing God's will perfectly from the day you're in this world to the day you leave. Christ did that for us, didn't He, Gary? I mean perfect. I mean if it ain't perfect, God won't accept it. Ain't that right? It must be perfect to be accepted. He says, you know, our offerings has to be without spot, without blemish. Our spirit has to be perfect. Our heart love for Him has to be perfect. Our heart love for one another has to be perfect. We can't sin in thought. We can't sin in word. We can't sin in imagination. We can't sin in no way, shape, form, or fashion and be accepted of God. Well, bless His holy name. Christ put away all of our sin. And He rendered perfect obedience to God.
Amen.
And He bore our punishment on the cross as He bore our sins away. And now everything that God requires, Christ gave to us. Ain't that right? That's why He says, without holy and without blame before Him. Here's the second word. Back over here in Romans 8. Here's the second word. I want you to see this. And over there in Ephesians, I should have read it to you while I was over there. He predestinated us under the adoption of children to Jesus Christ. We are the predestinated. Here it says this. In verse 30, for whom He did predestinate them. You see that? Them He justified. Us and them. That's what we are. We're an us and a them. That word us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children to Jesus Christ our Savior. And in these verses, I want you to understand this. There is not the mention of an unbeliever connected with predestination. An unbeliever. It's only, it is who he foreknew. Those he predestinated, those he chose, them he foreknew. So it's a particular people. And when you look at this, there's not an unbeliever mentioned in this. It don't say anything about, it says something about what God does and who he does it for. Us. And them he foreknew. Whatever predestination affords or brings, whatever it accomplishes, it only has to do with believers. Now ain't that right? Only has to do with believers. He loved us. He chose us. He called us. He justified us. He glorified us. He also predestinated us to something. And we'll see that here in a minute. He predestinated us to something. He predestinated us to salvation in Christ in this business of foreknowing. Justification, calling, glorification, adoption, inheritance. All of them are things that's reserved for His people. Huh? Now, reprobation. And spiritual blindness, hardening of the heart, that's a whole other subject. And I'm not afraid to preach on reprobation. I've preached on it before. And I tell you, there is a rip. If there's a choosing, there's a passing by. All right. But this is not what this is talking about. Predestination has to do with believers. He has predestinated us. Them he called. Them he called. And look here at the third word. There it says this in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now watch this. To be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son. He hath predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now this has to do with predestination, being conformed to the image of His Son. Man was made in the image of God. God said, let us make man in our own image. That's His original way. God originally created him in His own image. But when sin entered into that garden through Adam, and that sin, we've lost that image of God. No semblance of God left in us after Adam fell. He was born. And we are born now, not in the image of God, but in the image of Adam. Yes. Fallen Adam. Flesh. Rotten, stinking, sin-loving flesh. Corrupt flesh. I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I mean, God said we drank iniquity like it's water. We was shaping in iniquity and we was conceived in what? Sin. My grandfather was a fine man. As far as I can remember, he was a fine man. But I tell you what, he produced three miserable, wretched sons, and all three of them were drunks, alcoholics, mean as rattlesnakes. But how could he produce sons like that? Because that's what he was. He may not have done it outwardly, that's what he was in his heart. Ain't that right? Well, my mom is the finest person in the world. She may be to you. But what's she like in God's sight? And you see, that's what he's talking about here. What we are in Adam. Yeah. And that's what we was born with. We were dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. We walked according to the spirit and power and prince of this air. And the scripture says we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But the Lord Jesus, the Lord God of heaven, in His sovereign grace, in His sovereign purpose, has predestinated and purposed to have a people which no man can number out of this race.
Yes, sir.
He took Abraham out. Genesis 15:5. You look at it yourself. He took him out and he still said, Abraham, look up. Can you tell those stars? Can you count those stars? He said, no. Ain't nowhere in the world. And anywhere you go on the face of the earth, whenever the sky's clear, and there ain't a lot of light, you just see a sky full of stars. If you're in Mexico, you look up, sky full of stars. Step out on my porch, star full of sky. Sky full of stars. And he said, Abraham, he said, that's how many children you're going to have. Abraham said, amen, I believe that. And that's what God, he said, Abraham, I'm going to have you, you're going to be the father. And listen, we're the children of Abraham sitting here right now. Children of faith are the children of Abraham. Is that not right? And all, beloved, that's what he's talking about. These people are predestinated to be like his son. Here's the thing about it. The scripture says that we shall see him as he is and shall be like him. And this is the blessed, glorious, sacred object of predestination, is to make a people like Christ. Huh? Oh, my. That's one of the grievous things that we have to deal with when we live it in this world, is our inability to be like Christ, our sin. Huh? God has determined to have a people like Christ. He said he's going to predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. And all the means that are necessary to bring us to Christ and to make us like him, he has ordained and predestinated those things to happen to conform us to the image of Christ. That's right. Huh? As many as were ordained to eternal life, what did they do? They believed. Paul was getting mistreated in Corinth. They lied on him, beat him, cussed him, wanted to run him out of town. The Jews were envious of him. It caused all kinds of trouble. He got up one night and he said, I'm leaving in the morning. I'm leaving town tomorrow morning. The Lord Jesus came to him that night and said, Paul, you stay right here. He said, no man's going to lay hands on you. No man's going to hurt you. Why, Lord? I got much people in this city. So, Paul, stay right where you are. Keep on preaching. I got a lot of people in this city. And oh, beloved, you see, he chose us in Christ. Ain't that right? He made the Lord Jesus Christ our surety, our representative. One who stood good for us and represented us in this world and represented us before God and before the law. He was the one who sent him into the world. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem us that were under the law. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to make his soul an offering for sin. It pleased the Lord that in Christ all fullness should dwell.
Yes, sir.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. Paul said it pleased God to reveal his Son in me and to me. It was he that brought us. Christ is the one who was raised up to grant repentance unto us. And it was he that gave us faith. And it tells us that he will be the one to keep us.
Yeah.
Kept by the power of God through faith. He which hath begun a good work, he's going to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he's going to raise these vile bodies and fashion them like unto his own glorious body. Huh? My. God is going to be conformed to his image. Huh? And the fourth word is this, there in verse 29. Romans 8:29. For whom he did predestinate, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Conformed to the image of his son. Oh my goodness. But now look here, that he might be the firstborn.
Yes.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look with me in Colossians 1:18, just a moment. You know, everything God does in salvation, He does for His glory. He predestinated us to the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of His glory. God hath appointed a day that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They're going to do it. Every knee is going to bow. God has swore that in righteousness. Isaiah said, I swear in righteousness that every knee is going to bow. I mean, every knee that's ever been on top side of God's earth is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ, everybody. Our president went and stood before a grand old big statue of Buddha. That's all there is about Buddha, is a statue. Got eyes, but he can't see. Ears, he can't hear. People burn incense to him, pray to him. He's a statue. He's going to bow one of these days and say, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Mohammed, who started this Muslim religion, he's going to bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hitler's going to be brought from the grave and he's going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you, that's not done it yet, you're going to come down one of these days and you're going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I've done bowed and I bow every day and I bow before God right now and say, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord, my sovereign, my despot, my ruler, my Savior, my hope, my plea, everything that I have before God is in Him.
Amen.
And I gladly own Him as the one who has all right to do with me as He pleases. Day by day and with each passing moment. Yes. And all beloved, that He might be the firstborn. Let me tell you something. You know, talking about being conformed to the image of Christ, let me give you some things we're already conformed to Him in. First of all, we're conformed to Christ in nature. We've been born of God. Been born again. Not by flesh, but by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Scripture says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, made partakers of the divine nature. Huh? Oh my, our Lord Jesus Christ, and you know it says this, that by His own will, God's will, He begat us with the word of truth. John says that we cannot sin. Why? Because His seed remaineth in us. Whose seed? Christ's seed. You know, Peter says there's a corruptible seed and an incorruptible seed. That corruptible seed's after the flesh, that incorruptible seed's after the Spirit. That's what you never ever knew what sin was or grieved over or groaned over until God made you a partaker of His divine nature and put that seed in you. Now, is that not right? You didn't care about sin. But now, beloved, you care about it because that holy nature that's in you despises it. And that's that holy nature, that seed that Christ put in it, that communes with God. Only holiness can commune with holiness. And though and how in the world, if God didn't give us a holy nature and make us partakers of Christ, how can we commune with Him? How can we talk with Him? What nature in us communes with God, fellowships with God, understands the Scriptures, and calls on God and trusts God? It certainly ain't had nothing to do with our flesh. It's that new nature. It's that new creature. It's that partaker of our divine nature. So we've been conformed to His image in nature. And oh, we love to commune with God. Secondly, we are conformed to Christ in relationship.
Yes, sir.
The Scripture says, now are we the sons of God. Not going to be, we are right now. You know, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And what do? We cry, Abba, Father. Oh, beloved, and we're conformed to Christ in character. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're not of this world, even as I am not of this world. We long to be free from this world. This world here is a wilderness to us. It's a wilderness. We long to be, you know, we long to, oh, we're not of this world. We're not of this world's ambition and and self-righteousness and hatred and enmity toward God, toward Christ. We're conformed to Christ in character. And we're conformed to Christ in inheritance. Over in Ephesians 1, now I read it to you a minute ago, there in verse 13, it says there, being predestinated to an inheritance. Being joint heirs with Christ. Only children get are heirs. What is Christ going to get? He's going to get everything. But we're going to get everything too.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get everything too. You know, when Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to go get a bride for his son Isaac, you know, the first thing he said, he says, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink until I tell my business. And the first thing he says, my master has a son. And here's the first thing out of his mouth. He's the heir of everything. So if you get him, you get everything goes with him. Oh my. Well, what does he have? Well, he's got these jewels here. He's got this silver. He's got this gold. He's got this glorious raiment here. Will you go? Let's go. Start it on. And that's the way it is with us. We, whatever Christ inherits, whatever he has, that's ours too. That's ours too. And then, beloved, we shall be like him in glory. The scripture says we shall see him as he is. And we shall be just like him. Just like him. Huh? John says this, as Christ is, now even so are we. So are we. Now this is the doctrine of predestination. God has ordained that every believer shall be like his son. And he has ordained the means to accomplish that end. And to accomplish that work. He's ordained the means. Whatever it takes, God's going to see that someday, in the end, I'm going to be just like his son and be that way throughout all eternity. Sinless, holy, love God, obey God, delight in God, rejoice around God. Ain't that what it says? Oh my, what's it going to be like? You know, we have troubles in this world. We have such heaviness sometimes. We face death, we face sorrow, we face trouble, we face heartache. Aggravation, and we sometimes could just rip the flesh and just say, oh, to be, just take it off like it's a coat. How one of these days we will, and we'll wake up in glory just like our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. You say, well, you reckon I'm one of God's? Well, let me ask you this. Do you want to be made like Christ? Do you want to be made like Christ? If you do, you're one of those ones he foreknew. One of them he predestinated. One of them he called. One of them he justified. One of them he glorified. And what are we going to say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen.